Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Budget Travel for Dummies by Jeffrey Morrison. Narrated by me, Jeffrey Morrison. Publisher's note: in this audio edition, you will hear references to figures present in the print and ebook formats of this book. Limit of liability and disclaimer of warranty. While the publisher and author have used their best efforts in preparing this work, they make no representations or warranties with respect to the accuracy or completeness of the contents of this work, and specifically disclaim all warranties, including, without limitation, any implied warranties of merchantability or fitness for a particular purpose. No warranty may be created or extended by sales representatives, written sales materials, or promotional statements for this work. The fact that an organization, website, or product is referred to in this work as a citation and or potential source of further information does not mean that the publisher and author endorse the information or services the organization, website, or product may provide or recommendations it may make. This work is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering professional services. The advice and strategies contained herein may not be suitable for your situation. You should consult with a specialist where appropriate. Further, readers should be aware that websites listed in this work may have changed or have disappeared between when this work was written and when it is read. Neither the publisher nor author shall be liable for any loss of profit or any other commercial damages, including but not limited to special, incidental, consequential, or other damages. Introduction. Picture yourself relaxing on a tropical beach with white sand and azure waters. Picture yourself exploring the cobblestone alleyways of an ancient city. Picture yourself on horseback among a herd of zebras. If you could go anywhere in the world right now, where would it be? What's stopping you? If you're like most people, the answer is money. The good news is, travel doesn't have to be outrageously expensive. Budget Travel for Dummies reveals how to keep costs low and still have the adventure you'll remember forever. You can discover not only how to make your next trip more affordable, but also how to make all travel so easy and inexpensive you're able to head out and explore again and again and again. You can find out not only how to budget money for a trip, but also how to budget the true rarest of resources, time. There's a whole world of adventure out there. Let's go explore. About this book. This book is the culmination of 10 years of extensive and extended travels, in addition to 10 plus years before that making many, many travel mistakes. I've written about travel for the New York Times, Forbes, and numerous other publications, all while traveling through 60 countries, 50 states, and during months of continuous adventure. There are numerous personal anecdotes throughout these chapters, and I've included advice from other travelers I've met on the road. Topics covered in this book include getting the most bang for your traveling buck, how to pack for any trip and save on luggage, budget-friendly lodging and dining all over the world, how to get the best price on airfare, common travel blunders to avoid, and more. I've organized the book to flow from initial planning to booking flights and accommodations to packing, and then on to things you'll need to keep in mind while you're traveling. Feel free to bounce around, though. Foolish assumptions. The foolish assumptions are actually by me about you. While writing this book, I've had an idea in my head about who you are with the hope that I can pre-answer any questions you have and write about the things you want to know. Broadly speaking, I had two types of people in mind for this book. First, someone who's new to travel. Second, someone who has traveled but wants to travel a lot more. In both cases, of course, they're on a tight budget. More specifically, you're someone who wants to travel, perhaps for the first time, and you can't figure out how to afford it. Or you're someone who has time to travel more, but not the money. A few more general assumptions. Most of my advice can apply to solo travelers, as well as couples and families. I've made specific call-outs when that's not the case. My advice throughout is for adults of all ages. There's no upper or lower limit on travel, budget or otherwise. My advice isn't gender specific. I am a man, but I've had lengthy conversations with women, friends, and fellow travelers, and have made sure to include their advice throughout the book. Perhaps most importantly, I don't believe in gatekeeping travel. If you're 80 and want to see elephants in the wild, 20 and want to stand on the battlefield of Thermopylae, or 50 and want a selfie atop the Eiffel Tower, do it. It's all an adventure, and you should follow your heart. My goal is to help you afford it, Not just that one trip, but the one after, and the one after that, and the one after that. Icons used in this book. I use a handful of icons, which are verbalized in this audiobook, to point out various types of information. Here's what they are and what they mean. Remember, this is an important point that's key to budget travel or travel in general. Tip. I've traveled a lot, and I've found a lot of ways to make it easier. These tips should help you too, though they're often more situational. Warning. Basically, the negative version of tip. Something that might cause an issue or is worth avoiding if possible. Find online. This icon points out helpful online resources, as well as items you can find on the resource page at dummies.com/go/budgettravelfd. Beyond the book. I've put together an online resources page to help you get the best prices on flights, find the right accommodations, and more. Here's what you can find. Direct links to the best booking websites, links to trusted, by me, gear review sites, visa, passport, and other important travel info. Just go to dummies.com/go/budgettravelfd. Be sure to bookmark the site so you can easily find it later. Where to go from here? Everywhere. No, seriously. The world is a lot smaller than it seems. Go wherever seems interesting to you, assuming it's in your budget and welcoming of visitors. Where you should go in this book is an easier question. You can certainly listen to it chapter to chapter, beginning to end, if you want. There's certainly lots of info throughout, I hope. And even if it's a section you're not sure you need, there might be some nuggets in there you weren't expecting. Alternately, you can bounce around. If you just want to know about booking cheap flights, finding the best place to stay, or what to pack, you can dive into those chapters directly. There's no budget travel extended universe you'll need to research to get the most out of each section. If there's something I explain better elsewhere in the book, I'll make a note of it. If you're new to travel, I would say starting with chapters 1 to 3 is a good idea. They'll give you a framework about what travel in general, and budget travel specifically, can be. They include a lot of best practices that will help throughout your adventures. If you're a more advanced traveler and just want to know some key ways to save money, chapters 4 and 5 are two important chapters to help keep your costs down. Lastly, if you're really advanced, and want to know about how to travel for weeks, months, or longer, start with chapters 11 and 12. Thanks for listening. I hope your next adventure is epic. Chapter 1. Wanting to travel at any cost. In this chapter, figuring out where you want to go. Narrowing down your to-do list. Living large on a small budget. Adventure. That's what travel means to me. Whether it's exploring the streets of Vienna, floating in the clear blue waters of Fiji, or hiking through a rainforest, it's all an adventure. Travel can be a weekend away upstate or a multi-month journey around the world. Big budget or small, long or short, travel can make you feel alive, rejuvenate your psyche, and give you memories you'll cherish for a lifetime. The trick, of course, is being able to afford it. Don't worry, though. I'm here to help you become an avid traveler, whatever your budget. Find online. Be sure to check out dummies.com/go/budgettravelfd to find any web addresses mentioned in this chapter, as well as links to other fun and useful sites. Ditching the notion that travel has to be expensive. You don't need to be rich to travel. I mean, sure, it'd be great to hop on your private jet, get whisked away to your private island, and enjoy a feast prepared by your private chef. If you've got a line on how to do that, I am all ears. But I'm not waiting around to hit that lottery. I've traveled for months at a time on a limited budget. How limited? Less than many people spend on rent. The fact is, the way most people travel is significantly more expensive than it needs to be. I've heard people who were convinced that a trip to Europe can't cost less than $4,000 plus airfare. I've heard people dismiss entire countries because they think it'll cost too much. Most upsetting, I've heard from far too many people who think that all travel is too expensive, despite having an income higher than mine. This is one of the few times in the book I'm going to be judgmental. Most people are wrong about travel. It doesn't have to be expensive. It can be affordable enough that most people, with a little planning and savings, can travel anywhere. While I don't have just one secret that allows this, that would be a pretty short book, There are a variety of simple adjustments and best practices in this book that can greatly reduce the cost of every aspect of your adventure. My goal is to reveal not only how you can afford your next trip, but also how to use the skills you'll learn to have one after that, and one after that, and fully embrace the goal of adventure. Because no matter where you want to go, the way to get there is budget travel. Hey, that's the title of this book! Deciding where to go. By far, the best way to afford travel is picking your destination carefully. This, above all other tips and tricks, will save you the most money. Or to put it another way, your money goes a lot further in some places than in others. Don't get me wrong, if you've got your heart set on seeing the lights of Paris or the sun setting over the Serengeti, there are ways to make that affordable too. If you just want to get out there, to go somewhere where you can't read the signs and no one knows your name, you can find a variety of options similar to the popular places where you can enjoy a comparable experience at a fraction of the cost. For example, Tokyo is one of the most expensive cities in the world. If you're looking for the hustle and bustle of a huge city, along with some amazing varieties of food, Taipei is significantly more affordable. London is another hugely expensive city, but if you're looking for history and atmosphere, Lisbon has that old-world feel and is easier on the budget. Not every place has a less expensive option. If you have your heart set on Paris, France, then Paris, Texas is not going to work. The Luxor in Las Vegas is not the same as Luxor, Egypt. It's a big world out there, though, and there are adventures to be had all over. If your budget is limited now, you can get out there, explore, and make some memories right away without having to save up for 3 years just for one short trip. With any luck, you'll have more money in the future to venture into more expensive places. Or even better, you'll discover from this book and your initial budget travels how to become such a clever and frugal traveler that you can spend days and weeks, even in these expensive places, with a budget that seems impossibly low right now. Tip: for now, if you're not set on a location, several flight booking sites, more on these in Chapter 4, can show you what the cheapest flights are from your closest airport. The best deals might be a less visited and less expensive location. If you're not sure where to go, the following section should help you narrow down the best destination for your next adventure. What kind of experience are you looking for? Some types of travel are more affordable than others. If it's your dream to spend weeks on safari in Southern Africa, that's going to be difficult to do on the cheap. If you want to try every restaurant and cafe along the River Seine, you're going to need deep pockets. What is it about that location that appeals to you? If there's some personal reason, that's great. But if it's just, I want to see X, it's worth asking yourself what it is about that specific location that's drawing you there. If it's to see something unique about that location, the Eiffel Tower or Iguazu Falls, go for it. If it's just to be on a beach, to climb a mountain, or explore an unfamiliar city, there are lots of inexpensive and still incredible options. Of course, you don't have to have a reason. I'm absolutely not trying to talk you out of seeing what you want to see. I've certainly done plenty of touristy trips myself, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Even if it's just, I want to take a picture on the Great Wall of China, don't let anyone talk you out of that. I've certainly gone on trips for worse reasons. I once took a series of trains from northern England to Spain because I thought it'd be funny and make a good story. It was. It did. But I won't do it again. Remember, if your budget is extremely limited, though, and you just need to get out and see the world, figuring out what you want from travel is the first step in figuring out what locations can satisfy that desire, and more importantly, which of those are affordable. Ideas for first-time travelers. It's a big world out there. That's exciting, but also daunting. If you're new to travel, the whole idea can be intimidating. It's awesome if you have an endless list of places you want to see and things you want to do, but don't feel the need to tackle all of it at once. The idea of budget travel is not to be cheap, but choosy, so that you can make travel sustainable on your budget. Rather than breaking the bank for a singular trip of a lifetime, the goal is to take as many trips as often as possible throughout your lifetime, creating countless memories over many years. Hopefully, you can narrow down your dream travel list to just what you want to see the most. Don't let anyone make you feel guilty about what's on this shortlist. If you want to take a selfie in front of the Leaning Tower of Pisa or eat sushi at a fish market in Japan, you do you. It's all an adventure. As long as you treat the locals with respect and you have fun, who cares what your former roommate's brother's partner's jealous cousin has to say about it? Remember, throughout this book, I give you tips that should help you wherever you want to go. But I want to give you this piece of advice now, before you get your heart set on any one place. Start slow. If this is your first trip of hopefully many, stick to one place, and ideally, a place that's not overly challenging to visit. I'm not here to yuck anyone's yums, but for novice travelers, I generally recommend places that are well-known tourist destinations. This partially goes against my advice of going where the tourists aren't, but there's a line to be walked for sure between affordability and accessibility. Perhaps the cheapest destination isn't as easy to navigate as a slightly more expensive option. On the other hand, the easiest destination could be the most expensive for getting around, while one a bit cheaper could prove nearly as easy. What do I mean by easy? Tourist-friendly destinations will have the infrastructure to help you out if something goes wrong. Many people will speak English, and it'll be fairly simple to get around. Cities might be entirely walkable or have an extensive metro system. Grocery stores and inexpensive eateries will be plentiful. Stores will take your credit cards, or it'll be easy to find a cash machine. Later, when you've got a few trips under your belt, feel free to go somewhere where you'll never hear English, no one takes credit cards, and the hotels are a room in some guy's garage. Some of the best adventures I've had in my life are in places where I vibrantly stuck out like every inch of the bald, bespectacled weirdo that I am. It's great. It's just not something even I could have handled at the start of my extended travels. Of course, I realize many live life according to the credo that says being out of your comfort zone is the only way to live. At least, that's what all the posters, candle holders, bath mats, and pillow cushions at IKEA tell me. I don't disagree, but there's being out of your comfort zone and there's being out of your comfort zone. If you're new to travel, maybe bushwhacking through a swamp 5 hours from the nearest town isn't the best way to start. So find your own way and your own adventure. But as someone that's done this for a while, there's no shame in starting small. In fact, starting small is an amazing gateway into something epic. Tip. If you're not set on a destination, there's no harm in starting with places where you speak the language. There's endless fun being in places where you don't, but for the first overseas adventure, it's okay to start with at least one thing you're familiar with. Don't try to do everything at once. Warning. By far the biggest, and often expensive, mistake new or infrequent travelers make is trying to cram in everything, everywhere, all at once. If you've been saving for months and only have 2 weeks to travel, it's understandable you want to see everything possible. But this is a recipe for disaster. I discuss more about planning in Chapter 2, but it's crucial to start pushing back on your own intentions before you've set anything in stone. Narrowing your focus to one place or area will not only save you money, but it'll also make your trip better overall. Wanting to see every capital in Europe during a 2-week vacation is not a tenable plan. One, or maybe two, is a far better start. I made this mistake for many years, and it never ended well. I'd be disappointed I didn't see certain things, I'd be rushed seeing the things I did see, and through it all, nothing but stress. Here are a few things to keep in mind now. You'll always see less than you want to. The more you try to do, the more expensive the entire trip. Quality time with a few things is almost always better than a mediocre time with many things. Flexibility is the best gift your planning self can give to your traveling self. Tip. There's nothing wrong with a to-do list. They're great. Just don't expect to do it all. Prioritize and plan with the intention of changing as you go. Focusing on less so you can enjoy more. When you're looking at a series of dates in the future, it can be easy to think you have more time than you actually do. Everything always takes longer than you expected. Take a step back. What city have you visited the most? Could you explore it all in a day or two? There's no reason to think you could do the same while on vacation. If your itinerary involves something like, we'll spend an hour here and then an hour there, stop. You're almost certainly trying to do too much. Dialing back the number of things you want to do will not only save you money and stress, but it'll also let you be in the moment and enjoy things you're actually doing. In the previous example, what if you get to the first location and want to spend more than an hour there? What happens then? I'm not saying pick only one thing to do each day, though that can be fun too. I'm saying don't plan on seeing 5 cities in 10 days or 4 museums in an afternoon. You'll always be on the go. Doesn't that sound like work? Generally, I try to spend at least 3 days in any location and limit my daily to-do list to just a few things. Sometimes 3 days isn't enough, and a few things is too much. But it's a safe place to start. Keep transit to a minimum. Planes, trains, and automobiles are all fun, but unless your intention is to enjoy the transit itself as part of your adventure, and for what it's worth, I do, then the time spent in transit could be better spent enjoying yourself in that place you just left. Tip: multi-city travel agendas are perilous. I'm not saying don't do it, but you should be cautious. Far too much could go wrong, and it's possible you'll be seeing the inside of a vehicle more than the place you're visiting. Planning less is one of the greatest challenges for any lover of travel. Whether it's wanting to get the most out of a hard-earned dollar or not wanting to waste precious vacation time, everything in your being is going to want to plan as much as possible. Here's why you should resist that urge. The challenge of planning to do less. This is all crazy, right? Who am I to tell you your 5-day, 14-city adventure isn't going to be legendary? Well, I've traveled a lot, all over the world, 60 countries and counting. And in all my years of travel, every time I've tried to do a lot, it has gone poorly. And every time I've tried to do less, it has been amazing. I get it, though. There's immense pressure for an expensive trip to be perfect. I call this the curse of once in a lifetime. I hate the phrase once in a lifetime, because it's often absolute nonsense and a toxic way to think about travel. Going to Europe for 2 weeks? Not once in a lifetime. Seeing a zebra in South Africa? Nope. Hiking Angel's Landing in Zion National Park to watch the sunset? Okay, that one is definitely once in a lifetime, for me anyway, because there's no way I'm doing that hike again. What I'm saying is it's vital to push back against the idea that your next trip is the only trip you'll ever take. If you don't see something in this trip, you can go again. The whole idea of budget travel, in my mind, is to make travel inexpensive enough that you can do it over and over again. Not, I went to Europe once for 2 weeks, but instead, I went to Europe last year, and I'm going again this summer. Not, I saw a zebra in South Africa, but instead, I saw a zebra in South Africa, and I'm going to Zimbabwe next spring. If you embrace the mindset that there will be a next time, it can greatly reduce the stress in needing to see everything possible in one go. Sure, it would be great to do everything on your list during one trip, but if it's at the cost of always feeling rushed and not enjoying any of it, what's the point? And if you do miss something then, oh no, you'll have to go back. How terrible. Better start looking at flights now. How to narrow your focus. One city, not five. Make a to-do list. Apps like Keep on Android and Notes on iOS let you create a list and have access to it from any internet-connected device. Make a huge list. Go nuts. But as you do, figure out what's most important. You're never going to see it all. You'll probably only see a fraction of it, and that's absolutely fine. What is it you really want to see or do? What are the core memories you want to create on this specific trip? And as you add something new to the list, slot it in above the things that you currently find less interesting. Soon enough, you'll have a list that's in a rough order of things you want to do from most interesting to least. Now that you have this semi-ordered list, pick the things you absolutely have to do. Maybe this final curated list is just a few things. If it's just one thing, that's even easier. Try to keep this must-do list as short as possible. It'll make your trip far more manageable and less expensive. If you're able to do everything on your core list, you'll still have the rest of the list for ideas. With any luck, you'll find other cool things to do once you get there. If you're having trouble moving things down your priority list, check out online reviews. Take these with a big old grain of salt, though. People love complaining, especially online. Even U.S. national parks get bad reviews sometimes, and these are some of the most beautiful places on Earth. That said, the text of the reviews might give you an idea of what it's like, which can be helpful. Maybe some spot is actually always crowded with tourists, or cheap souvenir shops, or something else that isn't readily apparent from photos and write-ups. For instance, I went to an incredibly famous castle in Scotland and found out after I was inside that it was barely older than my house. The whole thing was built from nearly bare rock in the early 20th century. Sure, looks great in pictures, but knowing it's barely older than my parents sure took some of the shine off of it. Tip: there's also nothing wrong with keeping things on your to-do list for a potential future visit. Enjoy your first visit at a reasonable pace, and then you'll know what you want to do and how to get there for your next visit. Travel days eat into your adventure. For example, let's assume that, like most Americans, you have 2 weeks of vacation. You want to see as much as you can on a trip to Europe. You want to spend a few days in Paris, a few days in Amsterdam, a few days in Berlin, and a few days in London. It's going to be great. Except it's not. That's going to be brutal. Anyone who has been to Europe is going to think the aforementioned itinerary is crazy. And yet, I've met people who have tried. Best case, each transit between the cities mentioned earlier is a day. Some less, some more. So for your 14-day trip, that's one day on each end flying, and at least 4 days to each city. Throw in one where you're jet-lagged and miserable, and suddenly your 14-day trip is actually 7. So you have roughly 1.5 days in each huge city to see everything you want to see. It's a difficult decision, but you should try to minimize travel days on any trip, although I discuss some exceptions in Chapter 4. For the most part, however, unless the transit is itself part of your trip, night trains, ferries, and so on, try to avoid it. Warning. It's easy to make the mistake of not leaving enough total time for a specific journey. That one-hour flight isn't really 1 hour. It's probably closer to 6 hours door-to-door when you include getting to and from the airport, security, and so on. Don't expect to do much on transit days other than transit, even if it seems like a short trip. Budget travel that doesn't feel like budget travel. In all my years of traveling on a budget, I almost never felt like I was traveling on a budget. I've stayed in beachfront resorts in Fiji for $30 a night. I've explored Japan from Wakanai to Nagasaki, eating the most amazing food for less than $50 a day. I've stayed for weeks in the most expensive cities in the world, and I've done it again and again, year after year. So when I say budget travel, I'm not talking about the quality of the adventure. I'm talking about getting the most adventure you can for your specific budget. That doesn't always mean spending the least amount possible. It's about spending the least amount to get the most enjoyment. That's what you'll discover through the rest of this book. How to save money and selectively spend money to get the best travel possible on whatever budget you have. From the mountains to the ocean and everywhere in between. Not just for your next trip, but to also make travel financially sustainable so you can enjoy regular adventures for years to come. Tip. It's okay to selectively spend more to get a specific experience you want. You'll find ways throughout this book to save money on the less important things so you can spend more on the cool stuff. Chapter 2. A Fistful of Dollars and Euros and Yen. In this chapter, knowing what to budget for travel anywhere. Finding ways to save for your trip. Deciding whether to go cash or credit. Weighing the pros and cons of insurance. When many people hear the words budget travel, they probably imagine dank and dripping hovels, eating saltines with no salt, and staring longingly as better-off travelers enjoy catered meals and 1,000-thread-count sheets. Get that idea out of your head. It's possible to travel anywhere on a budget and have an epic time doing it. Sure, the more money you have, the more options you have, but putting off travel until you have a less limited budget might mean you're not traveling for years. Or maybe ever. The best time to travel is now, and there's no reason to wait. Well, almost no reasons. But more on that in a moment. Money isn't most people's favorite subject, but you need it to travel. So in this chapter, I'll talk about how much you need, costly traps to avoid, and how to save up for the trip of your dreams. Warning. As incredible and potentially life-changing as travel can be, don't go into debt to do it. Travel is one of the most important things in my life, but I'm still the first to tell you, it's a luxury. I am always aware how lucky and privileged I am to be able to travel as much as I do, and I think that's an important perspective regardless of how much one travels. So save what you can and plan that epic trip, but if you can't save as much as you want to, don't feel bad. Put your actual needs first and don't get a new credit card just to max it out on flights and hotels. If you saddle yourself with tons of debt now just for one trip, that means you probably can't afford another trip down the road. Another trip, or worse, something costly and more vital. What's a realistic travel budget? This might seem hard to believe, but you should be able to visit just about any city in the world for less than $50 a day. In some places, you'll find it difficult to spend $50 even eating at restaurants for every meal. In others, it might be tight with sandwiches and tap water. This is not including the flight, of course, but I talk more about that in Chapter 4. Generally, the $50 is per person. However, some costs can be shared. It might be cheaper to buy some foods in bulk, lowering the per-person cost. A hotel room for one person is very expensive. Still expensive, but less so for two, and fairly affordable for four. Starting your budget at $50 per person, per day, though, is a great place to start.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?